I don't know about you, but my kids are back in school today after a much needed 2 weeks off. But if your schedule is anything like ours, and if your time off looked anything like my family's, it just was not enough time. You know, yes, we got to have our holidays, and maybe there were a few mornings where we didn't set the alarm, even though your kids might be your alarm like mine, but it just was not enough time to truly recharge. And maybe now you're back to school in another semester and you do not have the energy boost or refresh that you are counting on this time off providing. So if that is where you are, this week's episode and really next week's is for you. I'm going to be talking today about a few of my best systems for the home, just to help you when you're getting home at the end of a long workday and you have literally no energy, but you still have all of the responsibilities of your life outside of school. So without further ado, let's dive in. This is Secondary Science Simplified, a podcast for secondary science teachers who want to engage their students and simplify their lives. I'm Rebecca Joyner from It's Not Rocket Science. As a high school science teacher turned curriculum writer, I am passionate about helping other science teachers love their jobs, serve their students, and do it all in only 40 hours a week. Are you ready to rock the time you spend in your classroom and actually have a life outside of it? You are in the right place, teacher friend. Let's get to today's episode. I'm really excited to talk about home systems with you because I do feel like my home is something I have had to optimize, if you will, over the years, just to be able to balance all of the different hats I have been wearing in these last few years and in this season. Like, yes, I am the CEO and founder of It's Not Rocket Science. I always say, yes, this is my full-time job, but also being a stay-at-home mom is technically my full-time job. I am our house manager. I am our default parent. My husband does work 40 hours a week outside of the home. I work in the home. So anything that's going to revolve around the house, it still kind of defaults to me because I'm the one here. My oldest is in kindergarten, but my younger two just go to a little morning preschool 3 mornings a week. So I very much run this business part-time, you know, during nap times, that kind of thing. So I do kind of still see myself as a stay-at-home mom while still trying to scavenge 15 to 20 hours a week to do It's Not Rocket Science and to do this podcast that I love so, so much. So I just feel like in order to do that, I've had to be really, really strategic about how I do things in my house and how I run my home. And so I'm really, really excited to share these things with you. I know it's kind of, you know, a derivation from our normal topics on the Secondary Science Simplified podcast, but I really hope that it does help you. But before I kind of share some of my best systems, I do need to preface this because every one of you listening, like each one of us, we're all in such different seasons. What is helpful for a childless 23-year-old listening to this versus a 33-year-old with three little ones at home versus a 43-year-old with big kids and all of the extracurricular hubbub that comes with having big kids. Like, those are just three examples and they are so different. And that's just, I mean, there's so much in between as well. You know, so I know that even getting started with this, I cannot speak to every person listening in every season because you're all so different. And even I'm thinking about myself, like what was hard for me and maybe what I needed to optimize 2 years ago is very different from what's hard for me now and what I need to optimize now in my life. So first and foremost, I just want to say, if you haven't listened to last week's episode, which is episode 111, you need to do that first. It is all about priorities and boundaries for the new year, but a really key part of that episode is naming and identifying your current season and thinking about your priorities and boundaries for the new year within your current season. And I really think you need to be aware of where you are right now before you dive into this episode, okay? And then the second thing I kind of want to preface is, I hope as you listen to these ideas, you take what serves you and you just leave what doesn't, okay? I think sometimes I can personally fall into the habit of listening to someone's recommendations and what works for them, and all I'm thinking about is the rebuttal of like, oh, well, that won't work for me because, and I'm just constantly trying to justify why it won't work for me. And I just want to encourage you, just like I'm trying to like work in myself, just to listen and maybe get some ideas. And instead of thinking how it won't work, maybe think, oh, I wonder how I can maybe tweak this idea to make it work well for me and my family or, you know, whoever is close to you in your life. Because y'all, I mean, I'm very aware it's highly unlikely that every single thing I share is going to all be helpful for even one of you. But I hope that some of it is, maybe one of the five things I share is, and it just gives you maybe some ideas and inspires you for how you can maximize the very little energy you may be coming home with at the end of the workday. Okay, so let's dive right in. The first system I want to share is I just think it's so important and it has helped me so much to have a set day of my week where I meal plan and grocery shop. Again, for me, I personally meal plan on Thursdays. At some point on Thursday, it's like on my running weekly to-do list. Every Thursday I meal plan and every Friday I grocery shop. I have fallen on these days because personally, I like to go into the weekend when we're home with a full fridge. And also, I'm typically the most tired on Thursday, and that tends to be when our fridge is the least full. And so I'm most likely to end up defaulting to takeout on Thursday. And it kind of works out well because I'm really tired. I don't have any food in the fridge typically. And so takeout falls nicely on that day. And then Friday, I can kind of like give myself a little oomph I need because I'm so close to the weekend to do the grocery shopping, get that painful task done. And then we go into this weekend being home and we just have like all of the food. I love it. That's what works for me. There's no rules here. You can pick any day you want, but I do think picking a day really helps because if you're anything like me, I just like have so many memories of like being at my desk. It's 4:45, 5 o'clock. I'm like, we don't have anything for dinner. I'm having to decide like, can I convince my husband to just eat canned tomato soup and grilled cheeses when we get home? Or should I do what I said I was going to do and go to the grocery store and get a rotisserie chicken or, you know, get whatever. And it's just like this constant looming thing of like, what are we going to eat? And I think the more people you add to your family, the bigger this burden becomes of what are we going to eat? And again, maybe your hack in your system is you don't do any of the meal planning and grocery shopping and your partner or your roommate does that. And that's totally fine. But again, I'm speaking from the context of my own situation here where this is a responsibility that falls into my plate. And I honestly want it to because I really care about what we eat and I care about the groceries we get. So I'm not trying to like offload to my husband or outsource to somebody else. Okay, so I think having a set meal planning day helps. And then all of the other days of the week, you're free. Like you don't have to stress. I don't stress on Tuesday or Wednesday like, oh, I wonder if I should get groceries. Nope. I don't need to because I know I'm going to plan it out Thursday and I'm going to get them on Friday. And then I think what helps me with the meal planning part is I have a notepad where I just like write out each day what we're going to have. And I'll link in the show notes. It's nothing fancy. You could literally just use notebook paper or like a whiteboard. But I also have a list of meals on my phone that we make. And if you just like pause this episode, I bet in under 60 seconds, you could make a list of all the different traditional meals that you make in your house. Okay. And I recommend dividing them up either by theme or maybe even by type of meat. So for example, if you like to have a lot of variety in terms of the type of meat you have, maybe you list out all your meals by, these are all the chicken meals I make. These are all the pork chops, pork tenderloin, you know, ground beef, venison, fish, whatever. Vegetarian, maybe you have a couple days. When we were first married, we tried to have at least two vegetarian meals a week, mainly because of the cost. So I think you can divide it by meat if that's something important to you. I think the dividing by meat is nice. I like to shop at Aldi and they don't always have all of the meats every week. So you just kind of buy, they always kind of have like chicken breasts, but they don't always have chicken thighs. They don't always have like a pork tenderloin. But based on what they do have, I can then meal plan from there. So you can divide by meat. I think another thing is nice is to divide by category. That's currently how my meal planning list ideas are divided up. I have all of our different like pasta, Italian-y dishes in one list. I have all my Mexican dishes in one list, all my Asian dishes in one list. I also have like a category of just crockpot meals or fast meals for when it's a night that, you know, my son has a basketball game, we're going to get in late. What's something I can make in literally 15 minutes? I have a list of different sheet pan meals, different things we grill. And then I have like our cheap meals that I love to make. Again, because I like to have like one or two nights a week that are cheap. So you can divide it any sort of categories you want, but I think having that's really helpful. And then as you go through your week, I like to write out our schedule first. Like, okay, Monday night, there's going to be a basketball practice during dinner time. So we're not going to all eat at the same time, or we're going to eat late. So it needs to be something in the crock pot or quick. For me, Wednesday is typically a night when we try to go on a date night if we can. So our kids always eat frozen pizza, which means I don't want to have pizza like Tuesday or Thursday because they're going to probably have it Wednesday. So you just kind of plan out your schedule and then you plug in meals. I have a friend who literally has the same 7 categories every week because that's what serves her. Sunday, they do breakfast for dinner. Monday, it's some sort of pasta. Tuesday, some sort of taco or derivation of tacos. Wednesday is pizza. Thursday, some sort of Asian meal. Friday, they grill out. Saturday, they do sheet pan Saturday. Like, and she just plugs in from her list every week. So make this as rigid or as loose as you want. But I do think the key is having your set meal planning day, you actually meal plan, and your set day, you actually grocery shop. And you don't have to necessarily go in the store. You can do delivery. You can do pickup. There's so many options nowadays, which is amazing. But one little extra tip on this that I learned from Kendra Adachi, the Lazy Genius, who y'all know I love, is that she said in their home, they can't go a full week without getting groceries just because of they go through fresh stuff so quickly with their big kids. And she also is like much more into cooking than I would say I am. So she's like, I don't want to like plan 7 days out. That's just not her vibe. She's more of like a 3-day out person. And so what she does though is she goes to the grocery store one day a week and then she gets grocery delivery from Walmart or something another day. So maybe it's like for me, I've started kind of doing this where I get my groceries from Aldi on my Friday mornings. And then Monday or Tuesday, I'll get a Walmart delivery order. And something worth checking out is, you know, you can get, I think it's like maybe $99 for the year to get the free delivery. But also your credit card, if you have one, may have like a special deal. Ours is like part of our credit card that you can get Walmart delivery for free. It's like Walmart Plus subscription. I don't know why, but it is. So I can get that Monday or Tuesday. And the nice thing is like, if you forget something, if you know a kid comes up to you and they're like, I ran out of toothpaste, but you already went to the grocery store for the week, it's no big deal. They can wait 3 days because you're going to get another order then. Or, you know, you run out of strawberries or you did your meal plan, but you realize you forgot to get parsley for a recipe that's coming in a couple days. You know that you can kind of make it work with those 2 days. So that's kind of like a little bonus pro tip there. Okay. My second home system is a laundry system. Okay. And there's 2 ways you can handle laundry. And I think it totally depends on your personality. You can either pick one day where you batch and do it all or kind of do a load a day, okay? I have a friend who likes to batch it because she kind of feels like the load a day makes her feel like she's always doing laundry and it's never done, which is kind of true if you do a load a day. So she just picks Fridays are her day where, you know, she starts a load before work. As soon as she gets home, she switches it. She kind of does laundry all Friday night and, you know, Saturday morning, they all put it away as a family. For me, I kind of like doing the load a day. I don't like it backing up that much, but I also don't really mind doing laundry as much because here's why. I think the key to your laundry system, okay? So just like I think the key to your grocery system is just picking a day and actually meal planning, I think the key to the laundry system is that it's everyone's job. No one person can do the laundry for all the bodies in the house. It's just too many bodies. I think it makes sense to be particular about groceries and meal planning, but I think you don't need to be particular about how clothes are put away, you know, like just let it ride. I have another friend who she's like, I just stop folding my kids' clothes because they don't care. So literally they open the drawers in their house and they just lay clothes flat on top of each other. And it's fine. She's like, your kids are digging through their drawers anyway. Why are you going to fold it all up? And I just loved the freedom in that and that you don't laundry doesn't have to be done a certain way. So I really recommend adopting the system of everyone in my house contributes to laundry in some way. For me personally, I'm in charge of like everyone's in charge of getting their hamper to the laundry room when it needs to be done. And also I have another rule where I will never start laundry before bed because I don't like it to sit in the washing machine. So like if you drag a laundry hamper down at 7 p.m., like it's not happening. It's going to be started tomorrow. So even my children have learned like they need to bring it down in advance of the day that they need something. So everyone contributes. Everyone brings their hamper down. I put it in the washer, I transfer it to the dryer, and then I put it in another laundry basket from there. Then everyone puts their own laundry away, period. Oftentimes I have more capacity, again, since I am the one person who's here all day. So I may fold all my husband's things, but I leave it out on his side of the bed and he puts it away. And I think one thing that does help is I put the folded laundry like on your pillow. I do it for myself too. I put it on my pillow. I don't have a lot of space. I don't have a chair that I can like dump it on. And so it kind of forces me before bed, like I need to put this away before bed. And I think that's another thing. Like I took the time to do this. You can respect my efforts by putting it away the day that I do it. And my kids too, they can put their own laundry away. My three, well now four, but even when she was three, daughter, she loves turning inside out clothes right side out. And so she turns all the clothes right side out and then we just lay them in the drawers together. And she does such a good job with it. My oldest, who's five, is actually a little particular about having his clothes folded and he really likes to do that. And so I let him do it and he does it while I do the babies. And it's just, we all work together on the laundry. I think that's critical. Another thing I'll say about laundry is, for my chemistry teachers, you'll understand, consider the limiting reactant here. Like what's the one, if you feel like there's one kid or one person in your family that you're having to do their laundry more than once a week, like it's just always coming up, find out what the limiting reactant is and make sure you have enough of it so that you can go 7 days without doing your laundry. You know, you can get really rigid with this. Again, I have a friend, the same one who does the meal plan days and has really specific themes for each day. She also has a day of laundry for each kid and person in her house. And then a day she does sheets, a day she does towels. So she has all her days divided up that way and they have assigned days, which is great. You don't have to do that unless it serves you. But I really think that having the right amount of clothes so that you're doing laundry once a week for each person is the ideal. And here's why. I think if you have more clothes than that and you're doing laundry every like 10 to 14 days for someone in your house, it's too much laundry. Like that's kind of what happens with my husband. And I have to end up doing two loads and then it takes twice as long just to get his done. And then it just feels like such an insane amount of clothes to put away. Like I would rather do it once a week and have less to do and put away than do it once every other week and have double the amount. Again, for me, just mentally, it feels overwhelming. The other thing is you don't want to be doing it less than that. Like if your kid only has four pairs of pants, then you're gonna have to do your laundry every 4 days. I would recommend getting enough pairs that they don't. I made sure for my oldest, all of those public schools here have a uniform. I made sure that he has six pairs of uniform pants, one for each day and an extra pair in case there's an accident or, you know, I somehow get behind on the laundry. You know, we have a tiny bit of buffer. But I was like, I'm just not going to do this or hope that his pants stay clean, that I can let him rewear them when, you know, that's not the case. So I think really considering what your limiting reactant is super helpful there. And then the last thing I'll say about laundry is I really, really recommend doing separate smaller loads as opposed to throwing it all together. So like I have three kids. Instead of doing one giant load with all of their stuff, which could definitely fit for a week because they're all small, I would rather divide it into separate loads. Now, I only do two kid loads, but I do it based on the room that they live in. So two of my kids share a room, the baby's on its own. So I do the baby's laundry and then I do the big kid's laundry. I think having it narrowed down to the location it's going is really helpful. And I also think that sorting takes up so much time. I swear, the bulk of laundry time is not the actual folding, it's the sorting of the things. And so I think if you already keep the laundry separate, that already just helps so much in terms of eliminating some time in the sorting. So I hope that helps. But my biggest tip here for laundry, again, in establishing your system is, remember, it's everyone's job. You don't need to be the only person doing it. Okay, wow. I have gotten long-winded on just talking about grocery shopping and laundry. And I'm sorry, I did not mean to. I thought this was going to be like a short and sweet episode. But I genuinely get so excited talking about this stuff because it sounds simple, but it's really helped our family and our culture and my stress levels and my energy levels so, so much. So I'll try to go faster on the last three. Third system or hack or routine I would recommend is run your dishwasher every night before bed, no matter what, even if it isn't full. Y'all, we never have dishes in the sink in our house, ever, period. It does not happen, okay? Why? Because every night, no matter what, as I'm, you know, quieting the house and setting up the coffee pot for the next morning and getting ready, you know, to go to bed, I put everything that needs to be washed in the dishwasher and I set it to run. Then when I wake up the next morning, while the coffee's brewing and while I'm frothing my creamer, I unload the dishwasher. So it is empty before any other human walks downstairs in my house. So my kids know it never goes in the sink. It always goes straight to the dishwasher. My babysitters know, I've trained them. The dishwasher's always dirty. There's always room for you to add the dishes here. Okay? Do it every night before bed. I think we get into this habit of not running it because it's not full. And then you end up like always needing to run it. You get this backlog of dishes. Like, I just think if you run it every night, it will make such a big difference. And I know that might hurt some of you guys. You're thinking about the water and stuff like that, but I guarantee it's all evening out in the end in terms of your time. And then also, like, some days you might even end up running it twice because you have too many dishes. And I've actually talked to a few of you about this who have bigger kids, and you're like, we have to run it twice a day. I think that's fine. Like, I would plan on that if you have big kids. Or if I notice when I'm hosting, like before people come to my house, I tend to do like an extra run of the dishes. So I have it empty before we host people because I know we're going to have so many extra dishes. But I really think getting into that system and anticipating it, and so you can be proactive about your dishes rather than reactive, prevents there being any sort of backlog there. Like, kind of adjacent to that, as I mentioned, you know, I do all these things before bed and in the morning I empty it. I recommend for my fourth system, if at all possible, and if you have a newborn or any sort of baby that's waking you at night, this is less likely to happen. But I really think having some sort of morning buffer time is so important. Like, do not press snooze 4 times. Do not set your alarm to wake you up for the minimum amount of time you need to get ready and get out the door in the morning and all your people. Like, give yourself buffer time. Whenever you think you need to get up, I would wake up 30 minutes before that. And I know that's disgusting and terrible. I hope System 5 kind of helps with this, and I'll share in a minute. But I just think having a slow start has blessed me and my family so much. I love that I have 30 minutes to wake up before I have to talk to another human. I drink my coffee hot. I do my little chores with emptying the dishwasher, you know, making sure all the lunch boxes are ready to go that we packed the night before, all that jazz. I sit down and I read and I have a few moments of quiet before anyone comes in. I just think it's such a mood boost. It actually boosts your energy more than the 38 minutes of sleep would. I genuinely think it's a better spent 30 minutes of time. And I'll say on the weekends, I don't do this. I just let my kids wake me up. And I always am like, I mean, I like it. I like the like extra sleep, I guess, but I do wake up a little grouchier. And I'm starting to think maybe I should just have my buffer time on the weekend too, because it's just such a gift to me and my family. And then last but not least, System 5 is having some downtime at night so that you have this capacity to wake up in the morning. And here's what I mean by this. I think sometimes we're such zombies after we finally get everyone to sleep that we just sit on our phones and we scroll for an hour, or we start binge watching some TV show or whatever. I really recommend 2 things. And I would call this system, you know, like maybe nighttime tech boundaries. I don't know. But one thing is my phone is set to go on downtime from 9 p.m. to 7 a.m. every day. So I don't want to look at my phone after 9 p.m. So I have it all shut down. I typically go to bed at 10. So that gives me an hour where I'm not looking at a screen. And I think it's so helpful for my brain and my mind to settle down. And then I also tend to get up at 6 a.m. So that gives me an hour in the morning when I'm by myself 6 to 6:30, and then I'm with the kids getting them up and ready for the day 6:30 to 7, where I'm not looking at my phone at all. And I just think it makes such a difference for my mental state. I also recommend no TV on weeknights. And I know you may hate me for this, but again, I just think the times that I feel the most tired are the times where I get the kids down and then I sit on the couch and we watch 2 or 3 of some show. And then I trudge upstairs and I'm scrolling on my phone. And then, you know, I'm waking up the next day exhausted. I've just found, like, if we get the kids down and then we spend some time together talking, or I'm just reading, I can just fall asleep so much easier. I feel like my brain feels so much more rested. Like, I'm looking at plenty of screens all day. I don't need to look at a TV screen too. And then it makes the weekends feel extra fun, Friday night, Saturday night. And we do watch TV on Sunday nights because we usually watch Sunday night football. Like, it feels like a little bit more fun, a little bit more of a treat, because I'm abstaining during the week to give my brain more rest and reset time. So those are 5 ideas for you, 5 ways I've kind of optimized my own energy, my own time in a really tight season, and when I haven't had a lot of it. And I hope that they will help you as well. And stay tuned for next week. We're going to talk about systems for school to support you when you don't have any energy. So not just systems for the home, but systems for the job too. So thank you for listening to this episode. If you want any links, you can find them in the show notes at itsntrocketscienceclassroom.com/episode112. And I would love if you would leave a review today if one of these tips excited you. I'm not even going to pick one. If any of these kind of got your gears going and got you thinking how you could use this in your own life, I would love to hear about it. And I would love for you to leave a review. All right, teacher friends, that wraps up today's episode. If you're looking for an easy way to start simplifying your life as a secondary science teacher, head to itsnotrocketscienceclassroom.com/challenge to grab your classroom reset challenge. And guess what? It's totally free. Thanks so much for tuning in, and I'll see you here next week. Until then, I'll be rooting for you, teacher friend.